Patrick, hi. Great to have you here today.
Thank you very much, Grant. Pleasure.
Let's just hit it. Can you tell us about Grafenstone?
Yes. I think what I'd like to do is backtrack a little bit because I've had an interest in healthy businesses for a long time. I've been an entrepreneur for about 30 years now. Okay. And way back in 1995, I launched the smoothie sector in the UK via a brand called PJ's. And PJ's was a sort of fruit smoothie. We shipped it from California. And to cut the story short, 10 years later, we were doing somewhere around 15 million bottles a year. And we sold it off to Pepsi, and our arch rival, Innocent, subsequently went away to Coke. So this was a good story. It was a fascinating journey. Fast forwarding to 2016, I met with the owners of Grafenstone in Spain, down near Seville. The founder is Antonio León, and Antonio back in 2012 was looking to try and create a new super healthy, durable mineral paint. And he went down a familiar journey with lime, using horse hairs and fibers and one thing or another to try and strengthen it. And it just coincidentally happened to be at the time that an incredible new discovery called graphene was announced to the world. This was something that two guys who are now Nobel Prize winners discovered in Manchester 2004 when they were messing around with a block of graphite and some sticky tape. And again, to cut a story short, they discovered this material called graphene, which was the first 2D, one atom thick material made from inert carbon. Now, the interesting thing about this product is its characteristics are kind of space age. It's 200 times stronger than steel. It's the strongest material on planet Earth. Okay. It's 1,000 times better conductor than copper, stretchable, flexible, and one thing or another. And Spain actually has quite an active hub in graphene. So back in 2012, Antonio started to research combining graphene with minerals. And the fantastic advantage of this was suddenly you had a healthy, air purifying, well-known, much used, much loved product called lime, suddenly with class one strength in a paint. And this then developed into other products using other materials such as silicate and clay and chalk and vegetable resins and one thing or another, and Grafenstone was born. So 2016, I met these guys, looked into the market. They'd done as Spanish people often do, go off to Asia and South America where they developed good markets, but they didn't have much in Anglo-Saxon speaking areas.
Okay.
England was one of them. So we launched the graphene company, bought the rights for the Grafenstone business in the UK, and launched 2017.
Super. So Grafenstone, as it stands at the moment, is supplying these paints to the UK market. And, you know, you're at the moment looking at the A&D sector.
Yes, very actively.
Okay.
You know, obviously, this is the community that has a strong interest in products, fast-growing interest in sustainable products, genuinely sustainable products. So, of course, they're a focus for us.
I just want to pick up on what you've just said there, genuinely sustainable. Can we deep dive into that? Because I think that is exactly where there is so much confusion at the moment, you know. And you know, one of the things we're going to talk about is, you know, why haven't people been thinking about paint in an ecological way for such a long time? But I think before we even hit the product, you know, can we just talk a little bit about sustainability?
Yeah.
and genuine sustainability, so we can understand what that means to you and Grafenstone?
Yes, absolutely, Grant. Well, you know, green and sustainable are words that are thrown around a lot. And of course, there's a big marketing interest in sustainable green products. And of course, many of those products really have no genuine grounds to make those claims. They have no independent verification to say that what they're claiming is actually true. So this was a big feature for Grafenstone over the last few years, is to go out there and evidence what we claim. Mm. And so we have something like 18 certifications, and I'm not talking about any old local certifications, I'm talking about big global ones like EPDs, environmental performance declarations in Europe, Indoor Air Comfort Gold, Global Green Tag, Cradle to Cradle Institute, probably the premier evaluator, independent evaluator of products. I mean, in their case, for example, we have gold and silver certifications. Okay. They look at the sourcing of the product, water and electricity use, local social responsibility, how the product dies off, the concept of cradle to cradle. They look at the product itself down to 100 parts per million to see what's in it.
And so
we have a real independent verification of our claim. This isn't just a greenwash.
And it's
is the most certified sustainable paints company in the world.
Well, exactly. That's exactly what it, and it sounds like it's sort of a 360 certification. You're not just looking at, you know, the typical VOCs or acrylics in the paint or plastics in the paint, or, you know, you're actually looking at the real issue of sustainability, you know, water used, all of those points that you just raised.
Absolutely. We go a lot further than that. I mean, everything, the packaging is recycled and recyclable. The pot's 100%. Everything we use in the shipping of the product is recycled, right down to a little piece of tape that goes over the top of the tin is recycled. We take this really seriously. We're constantly looking at how we can improve that profile. We don't ship water from Spain to the UK in the paint. So we ask people to use tap water at the point of use to reduce the sort of carbon footprint of shipping the product. So this is the hallmark of the Graphenstein brand, really.
Okay. And so let's talk about eco paint. Why eco paint? What does that mean again? And, you know, we've seen a lot of companies, and I don't need you to comment on this, but I've seen a lot of companies coming out in the last few years saying eco paint. But let's talk about eco paint. What is it?
Well, I think theoretically, eco paint is meant to be something healthy for people and healthy for the planet. So, for example, eco paint probably should not contain petrochemicals. Eco paint should genuinely be something that has a good footprint on planet Earth, and most importantly, I think, should be something healthy for people. You touched on VOCs. Well, you know, VOCs are very important because acrylic paints, for example, they're improving. They're much better than they used to be, especially when they used to contain lead and so on. So the VOC levels are something really important for indoor air quality, as you probably know. This is a big feature at the moment, sort of biophilic living, focusing on people's health indoors where they spend most of their time. So VOC levels are really important. Ours have less than 1 gram per liter, less than 0.1%. You can never get away with none at all. So this is as low as you can get. And why is this important? Because when you paint your room with an acrylic paint, you get this terrible smell. And there's a reason for that, and that's the off-gassing of VOCs, and that continues actually for months and years afterwards. In our case, we have paints that actually clean the air because they contain lime. We have a pure lime range that actually absorbs over 5 kilos of CO2 per 15 liter pot. This is a genuine, you know, contribution to cleaning the air in your space.
Yeah.
It actually makes your space healthier as opposed to the opposite. So eco paints, when they're genuine in their delivery, are really a benefit.
So talking about actively healthy, and you're talking about the lime, you know, absorbing the CO2 out of the air, what do we need to look for in a product so that we understand that it has that ability to do that?
Well, really, you know, the only product that will do that naturally is lime.
Okay.
Because lime, you know, when it cures on the wall, it goes back, it returns to calcium carbonate, it returns to limestone. And in that process, it reabsorbs the CO2 that it released when it was slaked, when it was turned into liquid, in effect,
in the
cooking process. So it's, you could argue, carbon neutral or close to carbon neutral, but much better than other paints, which off, you know, create lots of CO2 in production and then lots of VOCs on delivery. So lime is a fantastic product, you know, used for thousands of years, right back to the Romans, but brittle, not necessarily very strong. So, you know, the introduction of graphene suddenly made this fantastic opportunity, created this opportunity where you have something not just healthy purifying the air, but also class one strength?
I mean, so interior designers and architects are specifying, you know, and using a lot of paint every year. All these different projects they're working on, there's a lot of paint involved. Now, you know, listening to what you're saying, using something like graphenstone paints, you're going to land up cleaning the air. Why hasn't there been a conscious awareness about this? You know, you've said graphenstone have been going for quite a long time in Spain. You know, why haven't people really been looking at paint?
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, I think if we step back over the last few decades, the vast majority of people, Grant, that go into the store thinking paint, and I would say I was exactly the same thing, you know, only 5 years ago, think colour. They don't think anything else. They go and think paint, what colour do I choose? Off we go. And they go and buy their local, probably cheap acrylic paint. Now, what they don't realise is what they don't see. And that's all the issues that come with cheaper acrylics and VOCs and so on and so forth. So I think what's happened is, especially over the last few years, people have become much more conscious about ecology. You know, you've had Extinction Revolution and David Attenborough and all these things. And of course, most recently, COVID. And so the issue of ecology and health have accelerated in the marketplace in terms of levels of interest sharply. And so now people are looking much more closely at issues relating to health, issues relating to things that are in paints that cause them problems health-wise. Some people are super sensitive to things like MIT and other preservatives in paints. So yeah, this is an area which is really catching fire.
And again, with the A&D sector, you know, I think about the last few years and having many conversations with designers and brands about sustainability, being more eco. And, you know, it's just sort of dawned on me now. Everybody has really thought, okay, how can I be more sustainable? How can I be more eco in my actions? Am I traveling less? Are we recycling paper, which was obviously years ago? You know, what are we currently doing? What activities are we doing in the office to reduce wastage, et cetera, et cetera? But I do think in the last few years, there has been this shift, and there's still a major shift that's got to happen in the sector by really looking at and understanding products, how they've been made, how they've been transported around the world. And that seems to be the next step. And there does seem to be a bit of an awakening around that, if I can use that term.
I think that's absolutely right. You know, and paints are one of the most polluting products of them all. They rank up there in the top three or four or so, you know, after car fumes in terms of production. You know, when they're manufactured, they can produce a lot of wastewater, something I think the WHO stated something like 20 litres per litre of paint. You know, they're very, very damaging to health on application, but of course they're super cheap. Mm. They also block walls from breathing, which means you get damp and mould, which is, you know, very damaging. They call it sick building syndrome.
Yes.
So yes, there's many ways to contribute to better ecology and health. And paint, although it's very rarely discussed, is right up there amongst the most important.
Patrick, I want to talk a little bit more about indoor air quality. I mean, this is a huge issue, you know, particularly for those of us that live in London. We hear about air pollution all day, but we're not really thinking about the air quality indoors. And I know it's particularly that, you know, there's a lot of sort of particulates in the air just after a building project. Can we talk about air quality and sort of understand a little bit more about indoor air quality?
Yeah, very, very current issue, as you mentioned. And we touched a little bit earlier, Grant, on the issue of, you know, when you've painted your room with a low cost acrylic, you get this really powerful smell. And of course, you know, that is the VOCs being released from the paint, and that smell can stay very strong for several days. But what you don't smell so easily is the fact that those VOCs continue to leach off, as I mentioned earlier, for many, many months, even, you know, a year or two. Mm. So this is very damaging. I think VOC levels after painting got something like 1,000 times. You're actually more polluted in your space than it would be out on the street. So, you know, big companies are really beginning to get to understand this. If you look at Amazon, you know, they've created big biospheres in their headquarters, because plant life, low VOC levels also lead to much healthier workforces who concentrate better, who are sick less often, who move businesses more or less often. These have huge repercussions to the bottom line of people's of big businesses, because people are their biggest overhead. Yeah. So, you know, this is a super relevant topic. Now, if you paint, to give you a quick comment on Graphenstone's, the difference of using our paints. When you go into a room that we've painted with one of our products, like the line paints, for example, you get no smell at all as soon as it's dried. You get a little bit of a wet smell as it's drying for a couple of hours. After that, no smell at all. Actually, what you will feel is a sort of a sharper, clearer headed feeling in the room, a better energy, if I can put it that way.
Okay.
Because these paints are actually actively cleaning your air in meaningful amounts. So it's the complete, you know, polar reverse of what you get when you paint it with a less ecological product.
So how, you know, are you measuring that so you can actually tell that, can't you?
Yes, I mean, the estimated volumes of CO2 absorption by a 15-litre pot of the pure white lines, for example, is approximately a third of its weight, i.e. 5 kilos of CO2, most of which occurs in the first few months and then ongoing for another year and a half, until it's fully carbon, until it's fully recarbonated, basically. But my goodness, what a difference.
Yeah.
But during that period of time, you've got a product on your walls which is improving the air quality in your space.
I mean, that, you know, that's incredible to hear. And we've been, you know, I'm pretty eco-conscious and been watching the reports about how countries and cities who are coming out of lockdown, you know, air pollution is rising again. We're seeing respiratory issues starting to increase again as you know, the traffic is back out onto the road. And so to think about a product that actually in our own homes can really help benefit us is pretty incredible, actually.
Well, here's another quick thought for you, Grant, because lime, as you might know, is a product which has a super high pH, you know, sort of 11, 12 and over. And depending on just the quality of the lime and the purity of it. And so we've actually just launched a range of paints, a paint and a primer, which where the pH is sufficiently high that it inhibits all bacteria, viruses, and so on. So you put the primer on the wall for 24 hours, which in effect is terminating everything that's potentially damaging on the walls. And then you put a silver ion top coat over it, which will continue to inhibit that for another 18 months. So super healthy. I mean, even the standard lime paints, nothing will grow on it. Mm. So they're very, very healthy in terms of, you know, schools, hospitals, and this kind of thing.
Yes. And I mean, you know, for architects and designers that are listening, these are incredible stats that are backed up that you can take to your clients. That's quite a sell. You know, that's a real benefit.
Yes. I mean, lime yeah. is not a new product, clearly. No. It's been around a long time. The difference is that the lime products we produce with this graphene technology, where in effect you have a structural support at the molecular level of this graphene, suddenly it's class one strength. So that's a big leap forward from the old lime products, which typically you put on the wall, but they don't last very long. They're quite thin, they're quite brittle. Yeah. Suddenly this is a class one strength lime paint, you know, absorbing CO2, not allowing anything to grow on it. The only slight down, as if I call it a downside limitation, is that because lime is so white, we can only produce pastel color, a range of pastel colors. So okay. that particular range only comes in about 13 pastel colors.
Okay. But let's talk about color. How do you develop colors? How are you building out your range? What does your range consist of at the moment?
Yes. Well, we base our color palette on the NCS, the Natural Color System, So natural color system, we have about 980 interior colors, about 320 color fast exterior colors. Mm-hmm. We have a house color card of 96, which is the usual paint chip card. We can't put all 980 on there, of course. In fact, the true color range is wider than that, because if you take the 980 and you say, well, on that particular color, I want a tint of 75% of it. Well, that times 980 by another 2, or 50%, another 3. So the reality is the color range is enormous, Grant.
Okay. And Patrick, I'm guessing you color match as well, because obviously, you know, I know designers use color matching services all the time.
Yes, indeed, we do. We have obviously a lot of color matches prepared already. All the RAL colors are matched. But any specific color that we don't have matched, we will do. Some of them take, you know, a little bit of time. You know, some are more complex. Some of them arrive very quickly. I mean, bear in mind that all paint colors companies use different contents in their bases. So sometimes it'll be what could be perceived to be an identical match, or sometimes very close, because the different minerals and so on will always create slightly different characteristics in the color.
You know, I think from our conversation today, what's pertinent that I really want listeners to think about is looking at your choices of products and services, actually, and looking into the market to see if there are options that are healthier, that are sustainable, and you know, pretty cost effective too. And I think, you know, they're like Graphenstone. If we just look at the paintscape, and Graphenstone sitting in there as well, there, it's quite a good lesson actually to listen to this, Patrick, and sort of really understand, you know, people just think paint equals color and not really thinking about anything deeper. But actually, if you spend a little bit of time researching what you're buying as a designer and architect, or specifying or recommending, there are some incredible companies out there that, you know, that the end result is just way more than a color.
Yeah.
And I think that's a huge sort of lesson for people who are listening today to think about. I mean, you know, it's difficult to compare something like Graphenstone to other paint companies in the sector, because there's a real value add with sustainability, with, you know, real health benefits to it.
Absolutely right, Grant. There's other value adds too that perhaps you don't see, but your contractor will. For example, you know, there's quite a lot of well-known brands, especially at the higher end, where contractors are very unwilling to use them. And that's because in some occasions they require more than two coats, or even more than three, to get the finish that they require. And this is down to solid content, i.e. what's actually physically in the paint after the water has evaporated off. In our case, we're 50 to 70% solid content. But this means you never need more than two coats. You can go from a white background to black, or from black to white in two coats. And so, you know, this is really important, because it gives you a density and a quality of finish, which is what gives you a real richness in the colors. And we've had some fantastic feedback on that from customers. And we do all that with the sustainability benefits at a cheaper price than pretty much any other mineral paints company. Mm-hmm. So especially if you look at the yield, you know, we're doing, I mean, some people claim ridiculous yields on paints of 18, 20 square meters a liter. Just, I don't believe that's possible. We claim 15. And I think that's, you know, that's a number which we genuinely achieve. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 2.5 square meters, you know, per liter in two coats. Yes. At prices that are considerably less than our competition. Mm. So, you know, we're trying to hit all the most important features that could interest our audience: sustainability, quality, and price.
Okay. And just one last question. Moving forward for the rest of 2020, it's obviously been an interesting start to the year, but what are your sort of plans for the rest of 2020?
Well, you know, it's been a very interesting few months, Grant. I can't ourselves very lucky, actually, because while we lost all the trade business, all those people, you know, quarantined at home, had to find things to do. And of course, one of the things they chose to do was paint the walls rather than climb them. So, you know, there were lots of small retail orders. Now we're seeing, you know, which is great because it kept us going. I mean, it didn't keep us going at the levels that we would normally be. So we had a few people furloughed as well during this period. Mm-hmm. But we're now back and we're seeing some trade business returning, which is really good. You know, some shortage of building materials out there, even basic stuff, yeah. Plaster. So for us, we're absolutely focused on engaging and spreading the message as widely as we can about these products. We're also looking to see whether we can encourage the healthcare and school education sector to look at this new product that we've launched, which is super relevant to the COVID era. Continue to push the message that paints can be beautiful and healthy.
Mm. Well, I think you've delivered that message absolutely perfect today, Patrick. It's been a very interesting conversation. I think it's been very illuminating. And if anything, if you are listening, you know, I hope it makes you sort of hyper-conscious about looking into products a little bit more. It's not just about what you do as a firm anymore. It's about what are you specifying, looking at those products, taking a little bit more responsibility, asking questions, you know, asking questions of your suppliers. I think that's a pretty important thing to do. And if they really are sustainable and eco, or even just on the journey, they're going to give you some feedback, you know, and so it could sort of let you know where they are. Patrick, thank you.
Great pleasure. Thank you very much, Grant.